Welcome to Bare Naked Politics, the podcast for people who want to keep up with the news, but who aren't necessarily experts. A lot of podcasts out there expect you to already be some sort of guru and to have watched and read everything under the sun in order to keep up. You know, they throw jargon at you, they have their politics geek in jokes and their Westminster contacts and all the rest of it. And it's annoying because most of us just want to know what's going on and then get back to focusing on other non-politics related things in our lives. So that's what I'm here for. I'm Julia Bell, and for the first time in this series, I've put together a patron exclusive episode. So the full thing is only available for middle and top tier patrons who pay a small fee every month, and they're entitled to a bunch of bonus content, including the full version of this episode where I explored the arguments for and against Scottish independence. And I've actually spoken to three different people with three different angles on this. So we've got a yes voter who is my very own cousin, Kathleen.
If you were to think of like Scotland and England in a relationship, mm-hmm. I do think we're sort of in like this manipulative relationship.
Like a bad marriage.
Uh-huh. And if you put that into a relationship, you would leave.
We've got a no voter by the name of Martin Lennon, who is a Labour councillor in South Lanarkshire.
People think like, oh, well, people are on holiday in the SNP and they're going to come back to Labour eventually. And you just think, how long is this holiday? Like, it's been 12 years.
Wake up.
They have moved abroad. That's what's happened. And they're not coming back. Because you say that the SNP are rubbish.
And we've got an expert on the economic impacts of all of this, John Hatfield, who is a fabulous financial journalist, editor and author.
Scotland generates about 90% of its energy needs from renewables right now.
I did not know that.
A lot of people don't.
It can't all be solar.
If it was solar, it would be the dark ages, Julia. If it was solar, we wouldn't have enough to power a blooming bike, never mind the economy.
So between them, you're going to get one hell of an outlook on this, and I can promise that you'll come away feeling like you've got a pretty full picture of this debate. So if you want to listen to the full thing, which you absolutely should, then the only way to do it is to become a patron. The link to go do that is in the episode description, so just click that and it'll take you right there. Or you can simply type in patron.com/Julia Bell. It's a bloody fascinating debate, and it is firmly back on the table. Scotland had a referendum in 2014, the results of which were close, not as close as Brexit. 55% voted no to independence and 45% voted yes. But at the time, we all thought that was the end of it for a while, a once-in-a-generation vote, as they called it. But here we are again. The SNP, the Scottish National Party, and the governing party of Scotland are saying, it's about time we had another go. And Nicola Sturgeon, the SNP leader and First Minister of Scotland, is saying if the SNP gets a majority of votes at the next Holyrood elections, so the next Scottish elections that are due in May, then frankly, that's a sure sign from the Scottish public that they support our cause for independence and they want another referendum. So in that event, I'm going to make it happen. Now, the SNP, as we speak, are caught up in a massive scandal of their own, and they've got two very significant camps within the party that are essentially at war with each other. You've got Alex Salmond's camp. He, of course, is Nicola Sturgeon's predecessor and previous close friend and mentor. And you've got the Nicola Sturgeon and the Scottish Government camp. And it's a big story, which I summarise in full in the episode. But Salmond was accused by multiple women of sexual assault back in 2018. He was acquitted in 2020, meaning he walked away free. It was all found to be not proven. But now he's turned the heat onto the Scottish Government, saying, you handled this badly. You were unfair in your investigation. You were biased. And frankly, you conspired to take me down. All of which, of course, Sturgeon vehemently denies. So it is a messy situation, and you get the full picture in the episode on Patreon. But the main event of the episode is definitely talking about Scottish independence itself. What are the pros? What are the drawbacks? How much has changed since 2014? You know, why is now the time to be talking about this? And of course, a big question is, how would this even work? If Scotland goes independence, what would it practically look like? Because we've been part of a union for over 300 years. So that divorce would definitely be more painful than Brexit, that's for sure. I do want to play you a small segment of the episode on here. The financial journalist John Hatfield and I, we had a great conversation where I asked him about the money side of all of this. You know, would independence be a huge mistake for Scotland's economy? Or is it big enough to subsist or even compete and prosper on its own? So it was a really interesting conversation. Have a listen to a short section of that.
You could take the analogy of conjoined twins. Some twins are very slightly conjoined and, you know, they maybe got a wee belly band that they share and they can be quite easily separated. After 300 years of union, the conjoined twins of Scotland and England, or Scotland and the rest of the UK, are, you know, they're joined at the head, the brain, they're joined, they share organs, they've got, you know, a leg they share, you know. Separating that is going to be difficult. It's not going to be impossible, and they will both survive and possibly thrive afterwards, but it's how much pain do you want to go through?
Yeah.
And the other thing, I think, for business people and, you know, people that are employed, etc., is, you know, the uncertainty. We don't know where it'll land. Yeah. We just don't. Things like, what currency would Scotland have?
What, are the SNP, have they got a solution?
Well, they've issued papers. They have the Scottish Growth Commission, which did a really detailed analysis on it. And I think their view was that Scotland would do a thing called sterlingisation, which basically means we keep the pound, but we don't actually have any say over it. We wouldn't actually be, we wouldn't have our own central bank. So we'd be an independent country, but using the currency of another country. Now, there are precedents for that. Some countries do it with the dollar. Panama, if you want to be like Panama. Panama is dollarized.
As in American dollars?
It uses American dollars. Ah. Panama is not a state of the United States. It has no say at all in the Federal Reserve. It has no say in money supply. It can't be bailed out as a lender of last resort. So, you know, if the Fed says, right, we're going to roll out another $2 trillion of quantitative easing to bail out the United States, Panama doesn't get any of that. Panama has no control over US interest rates. It just uses the dollar, and it has to make sure it buys in enough dollars to be able to keep that going. And so a lot of economists say that the idea of Scotland using sterling but not being part of the UK is the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of, I got a lot of sympathy for people who say that Scotland isn't being listened to, and it's the same, you know, Andy Burnham in Manchester would tell you the same. We have a very London-centric economy in the UK, and I totally get the grievances, absolutely get them. I think it could be done a lot better. But if you're looking to be independent, to be self-determining, why would you yield control of your currency to another country? So this is an issue as well. It's not insurmountable, but it will require thought. Do we create our own currency? Do we go back to the Scottish pound that we had prior to 1707? Do we join the euro? Well, there are issues about that, and there would be a lot of uncertainty. And the risk is that your performance internationally suffers, because, as we know, all countries must get credit ratings. And it's like TrustAdvisor or TripAdvisor, you know, Trustpilot. Every country's got a rating, and it basically says, yes, this is a very safe bet. So the United States with the dollar, the world's reserve currency, everyone is AAA rated. Everybody holds dollars quite happily because they know it's a safe bet, and they'll get paid, and they'll be able to, you know, do all their trading quite safely, and it's going to hold its value. So America's AAA. Sterling, even in the financial crisis and austerity, sterling came off a tad, but it was a AA+ rating. So still a very safe currency. We countries without strong currencies get much lower ratings. So it's far harder to borrow. You know, it's like you have to go to the payday loans company rather than the central bank. And it costs you more to get that money. It's much higher interest rates to pay it back, and it's much less secure. So it's harder to trade.
So is that, because I was struggling to follow why any country would piggyback a currency from a different country without any control. But is that one of the arguments for it? Is because at least that currency is bankable. It's triple, you know, like Panama piggybacking the American dollar. At least it's always going to be triple A, even if we're completely vulnerable to the USA's whims. We're never going to... Right, okay.
Absolutely. And what we remember, you know, back in, even today, countries that are failed states, no, we're not talking about any countries in Europe here, but in Eastern Europe, for example, nobody wanted to hold, I'm talking about the Soviet era, nobody wanted to hold rubles, you know, so it was all dollars smuggled right. in because dollars held their value. So I think we need to get at least consensus around what we're doing currency-wise before we can advance this debate properly.
Okay, that was a bit of my conversation with John Hatfield. To hear the rest, you know what to do. Just sign up to be a middle or top tier patron. All the other episodes of this series are free, as you know. So if you're a loyal listener, thank you for that. But without my patrons, I really can't carry on doing it. So if you find these helpful, then spend less than what you'd spend on a coffee a month and keep a honey going. And listen, you can cancel any time. So visit the episode description or type in patreon.com/Julia Bell and join the community. I will see you in the next episode. Okay, goodbye.